City Lights is a community of faith in Jesus, seeking to equip people to exalt Him and extend His kingdom. This message is from our study through the Gospel of John called Believe, Jesus Changes Everything. If you are encouraged and challenged by this message, please share it with someone, post it on social media, or let us know by leaving feedback on our iTunes podcast.
Significantly connecting all the dots for us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16. I'm going to read this, I'm going to make a couple of comments, and then I'm going to try to illustrate it with this canvas behind me. So excited about you, God. Thank you for what you're doing right now. It's just awesome. I just love you so much. You're so fun. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God talked about. He decreed, He said He would do this long before the ages, and it would be for our good, like for our glory. So Paul's describing the way that they're talking and demonstrating. So, you know, a lot of times in the Christian culture, the teaching, the sermon is the way that everything happens as far as understanding and mentally growing. Do not limit how God's revealing Himself and growth about knowing Him to a sermon. Because Paul, when he's talking about wisdom and understanding, he's not just saying, when I came there and did a preaching conference or when I said a few messages. Like Jessica just demonstrated, God is revealing and communicating who He is so that you would understand what God's kingdom is like on earth in every single thing you see and everywhere you go. And so when Paul's talking about this, he says, listen, there's a way to think. And he's about to just make a beautiful dichotomy. He's like, there's a way you can think. There's a way of the world, not meaning evil, but there's a way of the world where you lean on the muscle of your brain, and that's it. And you just figure out by human rationale and human thinking, like this is this and this is that. And it starts with me and ends with me. That is good. That is bad. This is right. This is wrong. This is better. This is worse. And Paul says, when we demonstrate God, when we talk about God, what I'm trying to communicate, what we are as people of God, saying to all nations and all people is we're not going to be able to explain God in a way that works like that. Paul's saying, for you to understand what I want you to understand, the things that I'm understanding, you will use this container. You'll use that brain. But you have to submit all that you are to Holy Spirit. And when you do that, here's what happens. So he says there are secrets and hidden mysteries of the wisdom of God. And none of the rulers of this age understood this. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Meaning, remember, they looked at Jesus from a worldly, villainizing like the world. They just went from their rationale, humanly. Jesus is doing these things. They're amazing and indescribable, but they're standing in our way, so we need to get this guy out of here. Let's fire him. We can't fire him. Let's kill him. They fought with a flesh. Again, I don't even want to think of flesh. Like my body is redeemed, and it's ever being changed for His glory from one degree to the next every single day. Though it's perishing on the outward, He's renewing us every day. Paul goes on later to say that. So he's simply going back and forth and saying, this is how the world thinks, and it can be functional. There can be some success there, but not if you're wanting to engage, encounter, and have intimacy with God. Intimacy with God doesn't happen through human rationale. It comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit, which God has freely given, he's about to say. And he says that none of the rulers would have done this. They wouldn't have crucified Jesus. And then he quotes from Isaiah 64 at least, but this was actually a statement that was said throughout other faiths and throughout the world. It says this about God, but it's written, verse 9, what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard, nor the heart of man or woman has ever thought or imagined, a concept, an idea, imagination, this incredible projection of what God could be like or what he could be up to, God prepared for those people who love him. And these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. So what Paul's going, like, you can think with your human rationale, and when you do that, you might be more rational and institutional, intellectual than others, and you will go up this ladder. And he says, in the kingdom of God, in God's family, the ladders have all gone through the chipper, and they're shredded and gone. To know him, and to experience him, and to receive and walk with him, to actually see the things he sees, to hear the things he hears, actually think the thoughts of God with God is exactly what he's prepared for us to do. in your Christianity or whatever walk of life you do, if you try to understand the one that the scriptures, by the way, if you can see these three post-it notes, I was doing a study the last few weeks, and I thought it was for Thursday prayer, and then I thought it was for staff worship, and it ended up being for this moment right now. I've studied the three words in the scriptures, immeasurable, indescribable, and indescribable, unsearchable, and immeasurable. And it's for a moment such as this that writers in the scripture were looking at God, understanding God as God revealed, and they were using their rationale here, intellectual, and they're like, measurement like this, and love like this, and kindness like this, and they went, oh, it's more than miles. It's more than circumference of whatever we have met. Well, he's immeasurable. He's unsearchable, indescribable. And some people go like, I don't understand. They go, because you have to think this way now. To see God, you have to take off that measurement. To hear from him, you have to take off those. To think with him and think like him and be with him, you have to use that gift of Holy Spirit married with your spirit so that you might know him. What does that look like? Well, he's kind to tell us. God revealed these things to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches even the very deep things, the very depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person? Meaning we have a spirit, by the way, we're spirit beings. I think you guys all know that, we're spirit beings. So when it says our spirit, and it talks about his spirit and those spirits coming together, there's a marriage just like Trinity in that way. We get married into the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So also, no one comprehends. No one can comprehend the thoughts of God. My friends who are agnostics, we start there oftentimes, and it's like, if there's a God, he's unknowable. I go, I totally agree with you. If there is a God, he's unsearchable. I go, I agree. And he's like, if there's a God, cannot reach him. I go, I totally agree. And they're like, so you're an agnostic pastor? And I go, no, but God came and revealed himself and made what was unreachable, reachable, what was unsearchable, searchable, what was unknowable, knowable, and he did it through the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, you believe in all that? There's no way this or that, or that. Well, if you just describe a God who is all these un-things, when God would come to earth and do things, do you think they would be able to be described if he truly is a God that you think that you couldn't reach? So when he comes here and was able to not only die but take the penalty of sin and separation and take that and swallow it up and cover that so that we could not only be covered back into the family and have it actually give us a hope of resurrection, a hope of power that we would actually do the same things Jesus did. And he says greater things as my church is sent out individually and corporately. So if God is unknowable, we both agree, if God did become man, wouldn't it be right that those things are unsearchable, indescribable? You get caught on the miracles, which is the very evidence that you wanted that way. But when God moved this way in the horizontal with life on life, you said those things are impossible. But that goes back to the very thing. Isn't he impossible? You get it? It's important to have a mind that can talk well and be kind, but never separate it from the faith that ultimately does have evidence, and in some places it just needs to be faith. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world who thinks like the world. This is a good, like, key moment. Now, we haven't received, yeah, oh, that's so good. That we might understand the things freely. We've been given the spirit of God. Listen, it's not like second class or like, hey, yeah, like a, you know, 7 billion spirits of God got sent out to the world. Like, the very singular one and only spirit of the living God lives in me, lives in you. If that just... I can be this brief. If that's true, then when I go back to my agnostic friend and talk about how everything was formed and made and is held and all that stuff, part of who that being is, and he's my creator, but he's also my sustainer, he literally has chosen in his wisdom, that doesn't seem wise to go live in humans. In his wisdom, he said, I'm committing myself to you so that I can actually look at you at any time and go, I'm never giving up on you because I see you in me and me and you. We are one. So he's given us that spirit. Verse 13, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. So if you're going to interpret spiritual truths, then you have to be spiritual. Spiritual is not like living like a, ending up like a Billy Graham or a Jessica Ariano or a Mother Teresa, except for the fact that they just had the Holy Spirit in them. That's what makes them spiritual. Spiritual is like, I'm not really a spiritual person. Like, what, are you saying like you don't burn incense and meditate and like do something with your fingers or read the Bible and pray? Like, that's not what spiritual people are in the Bible. That's what our culture thinks. A spiritual person in the scriptures means that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, which was a gift. It wasn't that you promised to do so well and you started doing so well. He's like, oh, okay, now I'll date you. Now I'll marry you. Now I'll commit myself. It was actually the opposite. We were so far gone. He said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring you back. So I'm going to actually do all the work that you need to do. Then I'm going to give you my spirit that by grace will come into your life and continue to bring you. A lot of times in church culture, and this is not an assessment, but it is a clarity moment. A lot of times in church culture, people stop there and go, so just ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins. And they just present a cross and say, ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins. And that's life right there. That's the entrance door in. And the door in is after you're dead in your sins and you recognize Jesus, the Spirit is inside of you, and now you go live a new, complete life that is actually immeasurable. No eyes seen it, no ears heard it, no minds ever conceived it. But oftentimes, what I see, and especially in our city, people go to the cross and then they just go out living all the same things they did before, but they feel like they don't have guilt, and so they literally just went back into the world of knowing, hearing, and thinking the old way, but they don't feel shame or guilt for it when they were actually meant to move into a new marriage infused by the Holy Spirit so that we could actually see, think, and know things that God thinks. And do you realize just one more step in that illustration is that's who the church is? And he said, hey, little lights, you are now, I put my light in you, now go into the world and show them what the marriage and what the family, go invite them in. Go light the candle, that lighting you, go light that candle so that they can belong to me. And we do life. It's not about some transactional thing of the cross. It's about the cross is the way into fellowship with God. And we move, now, it sounds crazy to talk about moving beyond the cross, but Jesus moved beyond the cross. So I'm gonna move beyond it too. The cross killed him. It's a great symbol. But then he died. That's a decent symbol, a tombstone. But then the tombstone got rolled away and a man came out. And that's a decent symbol of him walking around. But then he ascended and the Holy Spirit came down and actually moved on board in you and me. That's the best symbol. We don't need a symbol. You are the symbol of all this being true. It's the church. And so do you know, somebody's like, no eyes seen, no ears heard. I don't believe that stuff. The church is actually, in his design, his wisdom, that was the best idea he had, God. You guys are his best idea, not plan B. Little Christ's all over. I just said it to somebody in the car. I think I said it to Jasper. I said, I'm Chris Christ. Not saying that I'm God, but I'm like, we're one. And he's like, yeah, he knew it was a weird statement. I was just going like, we need to understand and no longer measure our relationship with God based on our track record or our future hopes. We need to focus on what he said and done. So spiritual people will understand spiritual truths. The natural person, verse 14, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. If you think this way, this is not going to make sense to you guys. And usually we get stuck on what we can do and what we can't do, or we blame the past. And I know, but listen, it's hard to work through past stuff. I'm working through some stuff with some of my closest people in my life, and it's hard. There's no time limit on that, but God's present. Natural person doesn't accept these things of God and their folly, which is where, you know, the word sophomore, it means wise fool. And there's no wise on that one, it's just fool. It's just mora. So like mora, as in moron. So the things of God to the person who's thinking intellectually with the flesh brain only and no faith, they're morons, is what he's saying. They're thinking like morons. I do that with my kids. I'm like, you're not a moron, but you're thinking like one. I do that, and I try to, it hasn't landed super well yet. You call me a moron. Like, no, you're thinking like, no. Okay. And he is not able to understand these things because they're spiritually discerned. And the spiritual person is able to, and the better word here, it's the same word as that one, discern, is able to discern all things. You're able to look at things and understand the purpose, the point, and all of it. Not only do we understand it, but we also learn and know how to live it out. Too many people in the church have judged all things, and they've taken that and like, this is right, this is wrong, this is what you should do, and this is what I say. And this is actually saying there's spiritual discernment as you partner and think with the Holy Spirit. There will be a discerning thought and a discerning action. And if you want to know what it'll look like, it'll look like Jesus, who constantly was caring for and surrounding the hurting, the outcast, and the judged. The judge literally was laying himself down for the people who were getting judged. That's the reputation that the church should be. Stop going around all the people that were getting prosecuted and caring for them, and stop doing that. I mean, that's what the world would say. I mean, like, sorry, that's what our Jesus did. That's what he's doing. So the spiritual person judges all things, and he himself will be judged by no one. Again, can you carry on this discerning thing? And that's not to go like, hey, this is what God told me, so, it's right. It's to discern with Holy Spirit will look like Holy Spirit fruit. So the one who would not be judged, it means like, man, what your statement is seems so true, consistent with God, and the way you did it was so consistent with God, I can't judge it. I can't do anything with it. It looks like Jesus just did that. It's not like, I said it's true and this is what it is, and so I'm the ultimate authority because I prayed about it, and so you have to accept, like, man, I didn't feel like Jesus. I just felt like you just got up from where Jesus was and you picked up rocks to throw them at me, and that's what I feel. That's different. Just as a little side note for that. I can't teach on the whole passage, obviously. Last passage, last verse. For who has understood the mind of the Lord? Who could discern? Who could really, truly? And it's continuing to talk about their spatial words. Like, who could ever, my agnostic friend, who could ever reach? And I go, no one could reach the mind of the Lord to actually instruct him. Who could ever do that? But we have the mind of Christ. What's being said there is, it's like, let's believe that for a moment that Rebecca is God embodied for a moment. What that pastor is saying, like, who could ever think that they could literally stand in the shoes with God and not instruct him as in, like, all right, here's what we're going to do now, God, but discern with. Who could think? Who could see what he sees? Who could hear what he hears? Who could think what he thinks? Oh, those people have the mind of him, so they don't have to figure out where his shoes are. He's already in them. He's in your feet. My last thing, if you just put that, those Greek words on the screen. Verse 13, just kidding, verse 10, it says, the things that no eye could see, no ear could hear, no mind could imagine, it says, these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit. And that word revealed is actually the word that we use in our language, in our culture, in our movies, is apocalypse. And it's funny, some people in the country and around the world are going, like, the eclipse tomorrow will be the beginning of the apocalypse. And if you really study the scriptures and you study history, we've been part of the apocalypse. We've never not been part of the apocalypse, in fact. Because what Paul says, he says, God's apocalyptoing himself. God completely uncovered himself. Sometimes the way to see means that you actually have to have a sunclipto. Jesus, here we go, Jesus sunclipto'd the way you used to see. Jesus sunclipto'd the way you used to hear. And Jesus sunclipto'd the way you used to think. And we go, God, I can't see, I can't see. And he goes, okay, I covered it. Now, I want you to see what I see. But God, I can't, like, I'm going to stumble, and I don't even know anymore. Like, oh, that's because I sunclipto'd your mind. That doesn't seem nice, God. At least I can still hear you. And then all of a sudden, there's no more, like, dialogue going on. It's all inside. And like, but God, I feel like I can't hear you. He goes, because I've sunclipto'd your ears. Well, what now, God? He goes, I want to give you the new eyes that are already on board. I want to open them up. You guys know? Thank you, God, for the eclipse. I'm not like the preacher that plans around the things that are happening. But tomorrow, you know that when that totality of eclipse happens and the sun is covered, that you'll be able to see three planets, stars, like it's the middle of the night, and animals all over Greenville are going to think it's the middle of the night, and they're going to start going like, and crickets are going to start cricketing. You're going to be able to see and hear and know everything that's around you that's usually hiding when the sun gets covered. Jesus sunclipto'd your sin in the way you thought and saw and heard, so that all the things that were already there could be. Listen, I listen when I preach. Like, that's an incredible point. It actually, I just gave like six sentences around explaining what he just said, which is what he delivered for us. That's the wisdom of God. We're going to close. This is not Star Wars. I was teasing with somebody like, is that Star Wars? Like, yeah, it is. And then I was going to tease him like, actually, I prayed and God showed me what the eclipse will look like tomorrow in Greenville. That's the sky. That's not it either. So Timothy's going to lead us. I think I'm done. I'm going to want to come back up, so I'm going to put the microphone away. But I'm just going to do a brief little painting. But all I'm going to demonstrate is this. I'm going to demonstrate a sunclipto so that you can see the apocalypse. Baby, we're going to start redeeming the whole apocalypse thing. We're like, man, apocalypse is today. They're like, what? Like, God's revealing everything that we can see and hear and know. Huh? Isn't it interesting that our culture decided to think of apocalypse as the ultimate rebellion against God and destruction of humanity, and God actually decided to put himself in that place and uncover glory so that that's where we live from, and humanity chose to interpret apocalypse as destruction when he was allowing himself to be in our place so that we could come to life? We totally, that's the enemy doing that.